So nervous.
Sounds good.
All right, guys. Guess what? This is the Mean Green Nation podcast, the first one of the new football season, and I'm excited because it was also the first home game in what, like since 2005 or something like that? I forget what it was. Long time. And also the first win is what I'm thinking of. First win since 2009, and that one was kind of weird that year because we played Ball State when we should have played LSU first. But second game, the 1-0 streak got destroyed, I guess. I don't know. By Ohio. And like the whole momentum got destroyed by Ohio. So now we kind of get some kind of chance at a measure of revenge. We get to go to Ohio and play them there. And I'm excited. How you guys feeling about this? Great weekend? Was it a great weekend?
I had a fantastic weekend. It was an awesome time. Had a great time at the game, watching them win, watch them really dominate for the most part. If you look at the scoreboard, it might have been a little closer when you actually watch the game in some parts and the yardage and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it was a great weekend. I can't wait to see what they go up and do in Ohio this weekend.
Tony?
Yeah, it was a great weekend. I didn't die of heat stroke, so that was perfect. But no, yeah, it was a great weekend. They played great. Really don't have any complaints. You know, they look good, ready to get this revenge on Ohio, man. I was there for that game in 09, and that was such a depressing, depressing game. And just ready to take it back to them this week.
Yeah, that game was doubly depressing because not only was it a loss, but it was like raining, you know? It was like pouring rain all game. It was like super sad. And it was like the end of the Todd Dodge era, basically. All right, but let's not talk of negative times. Let's talk
Can we tell Ohio thank you for that?
Thank God we didn't go 2-0 with Todd Dodge.
There are a ton of teams that we had to thank for helping Todd Dodge move along to another job. Well, I think a lot of things went into this win. I think you saw some of the depth that Coach McCarney has tried to bring into this team. We saw some of that there. Before we get into the game, let's kind of talk a little bit about the atmosphere. It was Labor Day weekend. The announced attendance was probably a little higher than what was seen there at the game. I think we were all at the game, and, you know, it was a little sparse in some areas. The wings were a little empty. The corners were a little empty. Why do you think that is, Justin?
I think it was really hot. I mean, it was a extremely hot day. I think people that might have had kids weren't going to come out and put their kids into the kind of heat that it was. It was just really, really hot. I thought there was going to be a few more people out there just because of the if you look at the having the ceremonies going on and the new uniforms and all this, you know, first game at home, you know, in a long time. I thought there were going to be more people out there, but it really ended up just being extremely hot. I think it was like 105 that day. And you guys know, y'all were there. It was miserable.
Yeah, Tony and I were at, I think you had a tailgate or something. Like, it was like a tailgate you were at. And I was, like, hitting up a bunch of tailgates. So, yeah, by the way, shout out to, like, NT03 from the gummygreen.com message board. And a bunch of other people, really, like, that, you know, were hospitable to me and my wife and my friend and gave us free beer, basically. So shout out to all of them.
I crashed the tailgate of Thor and Mean Green Matt and UNT 90 grad. And so, yeah, crashed their tailgate. We had a nice little setup there. But, yeah, it was hot. I kind of regretted it after about an hour of dying. But, no, it was good. I was a little surprised. I thought the student crowd was actually a little lower than I thought, but it was still a good turnout. But I had heard from numerous people that we had sold or that we had given out all 8,000 seats.
Yeah, the student section looked full. Like, Idaho didn't really bring many people.
Yeah.
But, you know, we weren't really counting on them to bring a large contingent of folks.
And
go ahead. What?
I was going to say, a lot of the students came over to the alumni side, too, because it was just bacon over there on the other side.
Yeah, like, walking across the parking lot, you could really feel it. You can feel all 105 degrees of the day. It was still a good time. It was a great time, actually, hanging out with everybody. I kind of wish it was cooler, and I think if it were cooler, we would have definitely seen more people. I know a lot of people like made mention of people that they knew that were not at the game for one reason or another, and a lot of that included, like, you said, Justin, their children or just older folks that couldn't make it or didn't want to make it and be out there in such hot weather.
It was really hot. I mean, it was terrible. I think if the game was a month later, if the start of the season was a month later, then we would have had a huge crowd. But it was so hot.
All right,
milk was a terrible choice.
Milk was a bad choice. So, all right, moving on to the game. The atmosphere was good. The people that were there were kind of, you know, struggling to stay alive a little bit. But it was a good crowd, and it was an entertaining game. 40-6 is the final score. The offense, you know, they put on a show. Derek Thompson in particular. 349 yards passing, right? I believe that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, two touchdowns, including an 85-yarder. Was it 80-yarder to Breland Chancellor? You know, they put up a lot of yards. They scored a lot. They went for it on fourth down a bunch of times. They didn't quite reach the 70 points that I kind of predicted before the game, but they did reach 40, and I feel like they could have gotten 70. How do you guys feel about the offensive performance?
Yeah, I feel like it was really good. I think they, like you're saying, they did kind of let off the gas a little bit, especially the fourth quarter, ran the ball a whole lot, tried to slow it down a little bit, it seems like. But, yeah, I think it was just a great offensive performance. They spread the ball around, throwing the ball. You had, you know, three running backs, really four running backs that ran the ball pretty well, just kind of spreading the carries out among all of them. It was a great game offensively, I think.
Yeah, and I know Derek Thompson kind of had I don't know. He had question marks on him coming in from last year, and I think rightfully so. I know a lot of people were like, you know, quick to defend him, but I, you know, to reiterate, Derek Thompson is a good quarterback, and when he's good, he's really good, as we saw on Saturday. He was good against Kansas State last season and against LSU, and he was terrible against Troy, and he was terrible against Texas Southern. This game was a game that he should have performed well. You know, like I would say that the starting quarterback, you want him to put up, you know, 23 of 27 and, you know, 250 plus yards. And he put up 349 yards. And he didn't look in trouble. He always found the right guy. He was putting down the money. And those are the things that we know he can do. And he did. And I think that's what won him this job. What will be interesting to see is if he can continue to do that and stay consistent. His problem has been inconsistency. But yeah. All due credit to Derek Thompson. Give him a hand clap, everybody. Woo! Yeah. There was another quarterback. He wasn't the only. There were two other quarterbacks out there. What did you guys think? We'll start with Tony. Tony, what did you think of McNulty and the freshman sensation, Dejon Williams?
I think Andy Mack doesn't need to play quarterback anymore. That's just my personal opinion. He threw one pass and it was picked. You know, I feel like he's a little too small for the position. I feel like he's, you know, he might be good. He might be mobile and quick, but I don't see him being the quarterback of the future for this team. I see him maybe being like a wildcat kind of guy with that, you know, that kind of scrambling prowess and everything like that. The freshman sensation, Dejon Williams, looked really good. You know, I don't know if it was against like Idaho's third string or, you know, whatever, but he looked like he had good, you know, zip to the ball, looked like he had poise, looked like he, you know, he looked like he was leading this team. And that's exactly what I want to see from the quarterback. He, you know, he made the smart decision, every time, just looked good. So, you know, I feel real confident in the future, with him, but I also think, you know, DT looked great and I'm excited to see what he can continue to do the rest of the season.
Yeah, right. I think DT looked great. I think he came out and kind of squashed any kind of quarterback competition stuff, and he showed why he needed to be the quarterback of this team. You know, they didn't name him a captain coming into the season, and he had some question marks. I mean, there's four quarterbacks on this roster who were all vying for that starting job. In practice here before the season started. So I think that's something he came out and really shut up. He needed to do this against this team. I mean, Idaho's not – nobody thinks they're an elite team by any means. So he needed to come out and really do what he did. McNulty, I don't think we saw a whole lot of him, but, like, I really don't think that he's, you know, going to be seen on the field very much this year at all, even if something were to happen to Derek Thompson. But what Williams was, well, man, he was fantastic. I mean, he came out and he looked like he knew what he was doing in his first action in a real college game. So, I mean, he came out and showed poise. He zipped the ball around, like you guys said. I mean, he looked like the real deal. And like it might have been against some of the second or third string guys, but he came out and he did what he was supposed to do here in this part of the game. And it also showed that he's obviously not going to get redshirted. You know, if he would have went this game in this blowout game and not played at all, you might have thought that he'd sit around on the sideline all season and just never get into a game and maybe take a redshirt that way. But he's going to get into the game if it's a blowout like this and get some experience. And I think he is the future for this team.
Yeah, and you know, like although I kind of feel I'm just throw it out there right now. I kind of feel like we can reach a 9-3 season. And I kind of talked about this on the like on the post I did, a little season preview post. But still, like, I was trying to figure out like what the idea is to play like two quarterbacks. Like, is that the right thing? I'm never really a fan of that, but I think if it's done right, you know, you can have success doing it. And obviously, we've seen in the recent past a lot of teams, a lot of very very successful teams, even national championship winning teams, play with two quarterbacks. Not necessarily like full on 50-50, but kind of the way they did this way. Like Derek Thompson threw 27 passes, completed 23. Dejon did six, he threw six passes and completed five for 55 yards. I agree, he played phenomenally for a freshman stepping out there. Like, the guy that looked like a freshman was Andrew McNulty there. I don't know, I really don't know like what happened on that play. I think it was kind of tipped. It was a terrible play, but I don't necessarily agree with you, Tony. I think Andrew probably could play for this team. I think he kind of shown that he can start for this team. But obviously, Derek Thompson proved the most, as we've already covered. Surprisingly, the running game wasn't as proficient. It wasn't as dominant as I expected it to be. I didn't think Idaho could really slow it down, but it seems they did. Brandon Byrd ran seven times, 57 yards. Pegram, 13 times, 47 yards. Jimerson 11 times for 40 yards. There was a couple times where it seemed like one or two tackles broken would have equaled longer gains. What did you guys make of the run game?
You know, I think that they just distributed out a lot between the three guys, and nobody was, I mean, they weren't really switching them in and out. It was more like one guy had, you know, like a quarter and another guy had a quarter. It was really kind of strange the way that McCartney and his staff were kind of throwing them out there. But I felt like Byrd was running the ball really well early in the game, and they kind of just went away from him. They went to Jimerson. Jimerson couldn't get anything going at first, and he really didn't have any. He might have broken one for, you know, 10-plus yards. I don't even remember, but it was he was getting stuffed at the line over and over again, and Pegram didn't run terrible, but and he had a touchdown, but it, you know, wasn't a big deal. But Byrd only got the ball seven times, at least out of all three of the guys, and he's really your guy that you expect to go out there and run the ball really, really well, and he did run well when he was out there. So I really don't understand why they were staying away from him. It seemed like, you know, he ran like all seven of those times really early in the game and kind of just went away from him for the rest of the game.
Yeah, it seemed like Idaho was kind of sitting back and waiting for, like, they were like, we're not going to get run on and we're not going to allow, like, you know, super easy passes, although they did allow Breland to escape behind the defense, like, super wide open. They wanted, like, Derek Thompson to find those easy open passes underneath the coverage, and he was doing that all game. Like, I think a ton of short, he was throwing a ton of like 2 yards, 3 yard stops, like a choice routes, and they're just like sitting there waiting for the ball. And he was hitting like you know, Carlos Harris, Breland Chancellor, Darnell Smith. You know, they all caught, like, I know we were talking about spreading the ball around. Breland had six, Smith had four, Harris had three, Terrell had two, Caldwell had two. A lot of people got the ball. A lot of people got the ball like short. There were not a whole lot of difficult passes down the field. So I wonder if it was just kind of Idaho taking away what they perceived to be the biggest threat. But I don't know. I think there is something to not giving these guys like a little bit longer time to like establish some rhythm and get a feel for the game. Tony, what do you think about all that?
Well, first off, I want to say on the running game, I agree with, you know, Justin. I'm surprised that Byrd didn't get the ball as much. He was, you know, really ripping off some decent runs. Had a, you know, much bigger average run than anybody else on the team. I also thought Rex Rollins looked real good in the fourth quarter from everything I saw from him. You know, he only had four rushes, but he had 29 yards He was averaging almost 7 yards a rush, and just, you know, he looked really good. He looked really fast. Once again, you know, same thing I said about Dejon. I don't know if it was against third string guys or second string or whatever, but, you know, he made the most of his opportunity, and I thought he looked really good. The receiving crew, you know, I thought we, you know, it felt like we had a lot more playmakers out there this time. You know, that was a really good thing. Chancellor's great. We all know what he can do. That 85-yard touchdown pass was phenomenal. I didn't even see him. I had no clue he was even there. I saw Derek Thompson throwing the ball, and I was going, what the hell is he throwing to? And then all of a sudden, I saw Chancellor there. But, you know, I feel like with Darnell Smith and Pleasant and Kidsey and Harris and Terrell, you know, we just got, you know, the fact that I can name five receivers, which I couldn't even do last year, you know, is amazing in itself. So just really good, really good offense. I felt like the red zone, you know, I felt like we were sharper there too. So just all around, just good stuff.
Yeah, I think I agree with you too. And you didn't even, Miller didn't even have a catch at the tight end position too. So that was kind of weird. But yeah, I think Pleasant was a very nice addition. He's not really, I don't have his stats in front of me what he did, but I felt like he was making lots of plays out there as well.
Yeah, he had, what, three catches, 37 yards. And, like, a lot of them were, like, short passes, like I was saying, where, like, he had to make plays after the catch. It was not like, you know, he ran 15 yards down the field, sat down, and caught a pass. He was making plays.
And even when Darius caught the touchdown pass, I mean, it was all him, you know, after the run, making a good play.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was cool, too. Like, on that play, if I remember it right, because we were doing, like, we had, like, trips, right? And a lot of times what was happening is Derek was taking the snap, looking right, throwing a short pass, or, like, handing it off. And so he kind of faked that way. Everybody kind of went towards that, expecting the short pass, and he continued with his route across the middle. He found him, he shook off a tackle, and scored a touchdown. It was awesome. It was good stuff.
That was a bullet by DT, too. He fed that in there. That, the cornerback or the safety, I think it was the safety, was right on top of Terrell. And he just fed it in there, and Terrell made a great play and great run.
All right, so that's the offense, kind of. Let's move on to the defense, which didn't fare so well. It allowed 369 total yards. And I think it was, I'm looking at the stats here, big play, rushing play of 40-plus, and two 50-plus yard passes. That was kind of their Achilles heel last season. They were really solid defense, but they would get beat deep, either down a sideline a lot of times. You know, obviously we had a weak secondary, or like on play action stuff, you know, or, you know, like a lot of times he'd sell out for the run and, you know, like miss a tackle and then the guy would run up the middle, which is exactly what happened in this game. What did you guys think of the defense? We'll start with Tony. What do you think?
It was, you know, at the beginning, it was really bad. They, it's like Coach McCarney said, they looked like they had bad eyes, man. They didn't look like they were in it at all. They just, you know, Idaho had a huge pass play there and just let up the quick touchdown. Didn't look good. But they really settled down, I felt. I mean, yeah, they let up a lot of yards, but, you know, they really held when they needed to. They held Idaho a couple times on fourth down. In some big stops, including a really big fourth down at the beginning of the game that could have made Idaho go up 14-0. And so, you know, I think they came through when they had to. They did a good job forcing fumbles. You know, the turnover battle was pretty good. And the biggest stat to me that I see is that they had 8 tackles for loss. I don't know if we had 8 tackles for loss the entire season last year. It felt like, I mean, you know, they were getting good pressure on the quarterback. They were getting good, you know, stuff, you know, they were getting good leverage is what I guess I'm trying to say towards the running backs and getting them shut down and everything. And, you know, just look, you know, I felt they looked really good, even though they gave up a ton of yardage.
Yeah. Well, they look good enough for Zach Orr to win defensive conference USA player of the year or player of the week. I will say that, I think, what's his face? Connolly over there, SB Nation, was saying that we were pretty decent on, like, our stuff rate, like our ability to get tackles in the backfield. We're okay, but we just couldn't get pressure on the quarterback. I think we got some pressure on the guy this time, which is nice to see. Definitely want to kind of slow it, you know, slow them down a little bit more instead of allowing 400 yards. What'd you think, Justin?
Yeah, I was really, really worried. I don't know if you guys were the same way as I was. When the game started off and they went up 6-0 and then they got the onside kick, I was really scared after the way they moved the ball in the first possession. So I was kind of thinking the game was going to get out of control. And, you know, they gave up a couple big plays, but I felt the defense was really solid for most of the game. They were in on a lot of plays in the backfield. Even, you know, they had 8 tackles for loss, but they were really close to getting the running backs and the quarterbacks a couple times. You know, just barely missing some shoestring tackles and stuff to have even more than that. So I feel like they were around, you know, they played well in pass coverage for most of the game, except for the couple big plays that they had. So, and I think one of them might have even been a short pass that they just broke it for a big play also. So, really, I think overall the defense looked great. Allowing 6 points in any game, especially when it was on the first drive of the game, is fantastic. So, I think they came out and they kind of didn't show what they can do in the first drive. And really just buckled down and did what they had to do. And Zach Orr, I think you're going to continue to see his name up there on the conference player of the week, because this guy's the real deal, and he's going to be around making plays all season long.
Yeah, definitely. Let's kind of like talk a little bit about the opponent, Ohio. They've like pretty much, I think I read somewhere, I think it was like on gummygreen.com. I think somebody had a nice post. Hold on. Oh, what happened there?
Sorry, my bad. Lost the headset.
That's right. Okay. Again, let me start all over. All right, so Ohio. I think I saw somebody on gomeangreen.com, the most popular message board, giving their credit. That he was talking about, like, since that game, the game they were talking about in 2009 against Ohio, the very, very close loss where they, like, scored, on the fourth down or something like that to tie the game up. Like, the two programs have gone in vastly different directions. I think that already, like, since 2009, Ohio has a record of 20-5 at their stadium and have lost a home opener only once during that time. And, you know, our road record is 6-19. Obviously, a lot of that's Dodge-type stuff. So, I mean, like, this is the kind of the team that we're facing here, that it's kind of like, you know, if we took that other route, you know, if we hired a veteran coach at the time, if we like invested the program the way they did, you know, what would have happened? You know, they beat Penn State last season, and, you know, we got shellacked last season by, you know, the big squads. I don't know if you guys watched them get obliterated by Louisville, but I don't really put too much into that, because Louisville's a good team, a very good team, and they have a Heisman, like the Heisman front runner, basically. I don't know if, you know, we are going to obliterate them, but I think we can win. I think we can go there and win. Do you guys have any thoughts about next week's matchup?
I'm sorry. You can go, Tony.
No, you're good.
I'll say I think that they have a chance to win, yes. I think they are in the game. I think they've shown that they can stay in it. I don't really put a whole lot of stock into Ohio's game last week either. I kind of expected them to put up a little more of a fight, against Louisville, because I mean, I like Louisville. They're going to be they're a really good team. They're picked to be, you know, in a BCS bowl, and they have Teddy Bridgewater, who's a great quarterback. But Ohio has some pretty good players on offense too. Their quarterback, because Tettleton is a heck of a quarterback, and I really thought they were going to put up more of a fight. So, but you also have to look at this. I mean, talk about North Texas going on the road. You know, most of the last few seasons and playing teams like LSU or Kansas State to start seasons and losing games, it really just it hurts. It hurts everything. Yeah, it makes you just feel like the season's done. And, you know, I know you try and fight back, and the coaches can do that kind of stuff. But I really feel like that with a loss in the first game of the season, this is an Ohio team that probably were thinking that maybe they could come out and beat Louisville in the first game and then just run the table and do some things maybe, you know, where they're at in the MAC. So I think that, you know, you have a chance to come in with a team that got beat. They're 0-1, you're 1-0, you have the momentum, they don't, and see what you can do, and I think that it's definitely possible that they can win this game.
Yeah, conversely, you don't want to get too big of a head. You don't want to say, like, oh, we're 1-0, and, like, we dominated the other team. You don't want to believe your own press clippings, basically. And I think definitely there's some room for improvement. We've already kind of covered some of that there. That 40-6 margin probably should have been bigger. And I think those kinks can get worked out. I think this will be a lot closer. Like, we're not going to blow them out. And I think we're like Ohio's still favored by 6. I think they opened favored by 6 points. I think it says a lot that this is a team, a North Texas team, that was usually, you know, counted out in these kind of contests. But, you know, like 6 points is nothing, you know?
Yeah, I think I saw something, too. I think the line's actually dropped to 4.5, which is good. I think a lot of that has to do, too. Ohio got beat up in that game against Louisville. They're down to their third-string center right now, and they also lost their two starting offensive guards. So I really think that could help the defense. They also lost their best middle linebacker too. So, and yeah. I've heard all four of those players are not going to play for the North Texas game. So yeah. that's really huge. We really need to take advantage of that kind of situation. And you know, I don't like beating it.
Facing a big team like Justin was saying. Go ahead.
Yeah. You're good. It's, you know, I always hate, you know, oh, yeah, we beat that team. Well, you know, they had a bunch of injuries. But, you know, you still got to take advantage of that. You still got to take advantage of the situation. And, you know, those are the cards you're dealt with. So just go do it. And, you know, I think it's great. I don't ever think we should feel like we're a huge underdog to a MAC program. And, I mean, you know, the MAC's not a bad conference, but it's, you know, we should feel like we're at least on the same level. And, you know, I definitely think we have a good shot at going up there and beating them this weekend. I think, you know, like Justin said, we have all the confidence in the world right now. Going, you know, getting beaten down by K-State or LSU to begin the season or, you know, anybody like that is just such a killer. And it's a killer for the fan base and it's a killer for the players and it's a killer for everybody. And, you know, everybody's got confidence now. This team's ready to go. They know what it feels like to win. And I definitely think they can do it. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough road game, but I'm interested to see how they react.
Yeah, and I really think that McCarney has a hold on the mentality of this team and isn't going to let them get that big head feeling. I think he does a really good job of making that team go through him, and he's very even keel when it comes to this kind of stuff. So I think that'll help a lot. But you look at Tettleton, he completed less than 50% of his passes against Louisville. And I kind of think of Louisville for their offense. I don't really see that as a dominant defensive team. So he completed, 11 of 23 for 140 yards. And Blankenship, the kid that's supposed to be his best receiver, 2 catches for 7 yards. So, I mean, neither one of them showed anything against a good team. But like I said, it's the offense that you worry about with Louisville, I think, not the defense.
That's an interesting point. I didn't think about that. By the way, I didn't really get your guys' prediction, your season prediction. I already said 9-3, and I'll run through it really quick. I said we'd beat Idaho. We'd lose to Ohio. That was my original pick. We'd beat Ball State, lose to Georgia, beat Tulane, beat Middle Tennessee, lose at La Tech, and then win the rest, basically. That's what I was thinking. I even said we'd beat Tulsa because I didn't really like what Tulsa has this season. What'd you guys think?
I think Tulsa, didn't they get destroyed the other day?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I mean, so that was the kind of one of the teams I was really scared of. I think Rice is a good team too. I think 3 losses could definitely be doable. If they come out and play the way they looked in this first game, I think, you know, you go to Georgia and you know that is what it is. Unfortunately, that's just kind of the nature of the beast when you're in a smaller conference. But also, I mean, look at the way the FCS teams handled some of the teams last week. So you never really know. But if you go to Georgia, you know, that's going to be something you lose. I really don't know. The rest of the schedule is kind of pretty wide open, so you could, you know, a couple losses here and there to any of those teams. And I think they're in the game in every one of those games.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of the games that are here, here meaning, you know, at Apogee, like Rice, UTEP, UTSA, Middle Tennessee, like, you know, I think maybe going to Middle Tennessee would be tough, but having them at home, that's probably a win. That's kind of why I said, like, La Tech away, Ohio away. Those would be, you know, I could see losing there. And, you know, I think they could pull it out at Tulsa. I don't know why. I just have a feeling, guys. I just have a feeling. All right. What were we going to say? Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was thinking my original prediction before the season started was 7-5. I thought they would lose to Ohio, Georgia, La Tech, Rice, and Tulsa. But, you know, I got a little more green Kool-Aid going on right now. A little excited after that win. And I think they'll beat La Tech now. I think they're going to give Rice a run for their money at home. That's a home game. It's a Halloween. It's a nationally televised game on a Thursday night. We saw what happened last year in a nationally televised game against Lafayette. We were
a good crowd.
We were big, pretty big underdog against Lafayette, and we came out and, you know, won that game thanks to the gym show and everybody else. But, you know, I definitely agree with you guys. I think, you know, three loss could definitely be the possibility here.
Yeah, I didn't really have, like, a prediction. I try not to make a prediction until I get to, like, fall and you kind of, it's getting a couple weeks out. Because you never know what's going to happen in college football. Dudes just, you know, disappear for some reason. But I think it was, like, a college football poll or something, and they said, like, 9-3, and I was like, what? 9-3? They really looking, you know, at us favorably. But then, so I was writing up the season preview, and I was just kind of going through the schedule, and I came at that same number. I realized that, and I was like, oh, I could definitely see where they got that thing from. Favorable home schedule and not too many super tough, like, definite loss away games besides the Georgia one. Yeah. Let's take a quick look around CUSA. Do you guys say CUSA or CUSA? I don't like saying CUSA.
I'll say CUSA, yeah.
I call it Conference USA. All right, so Rice took on A&M, and Johnny Manziel, I guess pretty much the center of college football right now, right? That dude. you know, like, he came out in the second half, he scored some touchdowns, did the money sign, talked some mess, and got everybody's panties in a bunch. Rice, they put up a lot of points. I think a lot of people focused on A&M's situation and not enough on Rice putting up a lot of points there, like more than I thought they would. But then again, that's kind of how Texas A&M and kind of how what's the name, Kevin Sumlin's teams have rolled. They haven't really been defensive juggernauts in the past. Any thoughts there?
I think that game, I think Rice came out and played pretty well, and I think they kind of thought they had a chance with Manziel being out. So I think they came out with a little more fire. And I really was hoping they would get up a little bit in that game, and maybe Manziel would come in and they wouldn't have, you know, what it took. But they came out and played pretty well early in the game, and they had the lead 14-7, I think.
Yeah.
But they just couldn't hold on. I mean, that Texas A&M's a good team, and that's a hard environment to go into also. So, you know. They put up a lot of points, though, against A&M's defense. But they had, I think, A&M's defense, if I remember right, they have that five starters out on defense, maybe more than that. Maybe it was six or seven.
Yeah.
With injuries. So, you know, they had a lot of second-string guys playing.
Yeah, and the thing about Rice is that, like, they were young. They've been young, so they're kind of growing up together. They were almost in the same situation that UNT was. Like, they didn't really have a whole lot of depth, and so they're just kind of trying to build that thing. So they will be interesting to watch. Marshall took on Miami of Ohio. I didn't really see that game, but, you know, okay, Marshall. I don't really have anything there. ECU, they played, who did they play? ODU. And you guys have any thoughts on that game?
I didn't really see it. I don't really know. I know ECU won.
That's a lot of points to give up to Old Dominion.
Yeah,
what
that was.
What was the score?
52-38.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, that I don't really know. Like, I don't really know what I thought about that game.
Didn't Old Dominion just go D1?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
I think wasn't the ECU guy that he won offensive player of the conference of the week?
Yeah, preseason. He won the this week, I believe. Yeah.
All right, cool.
I think I can get it right here.
All right, what was his name again?
Shane Carden. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, he won. For his performance. Yeah, 38 points. The Old Dominion is a lot of points. Yeah, by the way, that Marshall game finished 52-14. UAB and Troy. What did you guys think of that one? 34-31, Troy with the win in overtime.
Surprising loss, I think. To be honest, I mean, I know UAB hasn't been that great, but I would have thought they would beat Troy, even on the road.
Yeah, I mean, well, we know Troy's pretty good. Last year they kind of had a down year, but they're pretty good. Let's see, UTSA went over to New Mexico and beat them 21-13. I think it took like a late 99-yard drive to like put the game away. I don't know, I was not really that impressed with New Mexico. They're kind of a scrappy team. I don't know, like UTSA kind of scraps them out against, you know, lower-level teams. I think last season they started out, scrapped it out against South Alabama, and then they barely beat Georgia State. I don't know. It's hard to tell what's going on with UTSA. I think they play tougher than you'd think a team in their position does. Like, I mean, South Alabama this time, they kind of started out losing to FCS team. Georgia State did too. So, you know, two programs that are similar in, like, in like timeline to UTSA, but I think UTSA is coming off more impressive. They're like a team I wouldn't overlook, but I'm not really scared of them as far as being a UTC.
I think they were expected to beat New Mexico. That was they're not a very good team, so I kind of didn't expect them to lose that game. But yeah, I think they're definitely a team that can do something. But I'm not saying scared of them either yet. But I think they're definitely respectable though.
Yeah, you got to respect them. Texas State beat Southern Miss, and I saw some talk from some Texas State folks because I'm down here and I know a lot of them that they're like, "Oh, is anybody gonna talk about our big upset against Southern Miss?" And I just like tap the brakes there, buddy. Southern Miss did not win a game last season. I don't know if I'd be super excited about beating a team that hasn't won. You know, you're kind of just doing what everybody else did, you know? Whatever. What did you guys think about that one?
I was kind of surprised, though, in a way. I mean, I know Southern Miss, like you said, went 0-12 last year, but I thought that was kind of an abnormal year with them. They had a bad situation with the coach and everything like that. And I thought them getting their guy, their new coach, who used to coach there as a coordinator, I believe, and, you know, I thought they were going to rally around him and play good, and I believe they were at home, right? And so, you know, I thought they should have won that game against Texas State, and was kind of surprised they lost.
Yeah, I really expected them to win, too. You know, Southern Miss was, like, obviously terrible last year, but, you know, they're normally a team that's okay, and with a new coach and you have a new light on the program and stuff, I kind of felt like they would beat Texas State too. I mean, no offense, Texas State just not.
They're not good.
They're Texas State. congratulations on the win, but you know it's kind of what you get.
Yeah, they jumped up and beat Houston last season, and you know Houston went and started firing people because of it. And then you know, like, see, Texas State ended up ending the season losing to UTSA. Mm-hmm. All right, so two other scores that are kind of the same thing for me. Sort of. Like, I know Louisiana Tech is kind of in a transition because they lost Sonny Dykes and pretty much everybody that was on offense and everybody who played for them. NC State went over there. They were at home, and they whooped up on La Tech 40-14. And then Maryland at home, they beat up on Florida International 43-10. I kind of feel the same about both those teams. I feel like they're both two squads, Conference USA squads, they could maybe do some things, maybe. And they were just a little overmatched in these games. What did you guys think?
Yeah, ACC teams, you know, both those teams, NC State and Maryland, they're kind of like middle to bottom of the ACC teams. And so they're a little superior competition to Tech and FIU. So I kind of expected both those losses.
Yeah, pretty much. What do you think? Yeah. What do you think there? Yeah, same thing?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, especially FIU.
Yeah, so and then
see,
the other
see them get wiped off the map.
The other Florida school, Miami, Florida Atlantic, 34-6. That one was kind of boring, and you know, also to be expected.
I kind of expected that to be worse.
I feel
like Miami is kind of I have them as like a sleeper BCS school team this year. You know, I think they're going to be their quarterback's really good, so I kind of expected them to be up in the 50s.
Middle Tennessee beat up on an FCS school. Tulane beat up on an FCS school. 34-7 in Tulane's case and 45-24 in Middle Tennessee's case. That is normally not very impressive, but this week, as we saw, FCS teams have some bite, so maybe that's kind of cool. The big surprising one of the weekend was Bowling Green just destroying Tulsa. Tulsa didn't score until the fourth quarter, and that game finished 34-7. Bowling Green kind of controlled the game most of it, and then they scored 21 in the fourth quarter. I don't know. What'd you guys think of that one? That was super surprising to me.
Yeah, I was extremely surprised too. But Bowling Green, you know, they have 19 returning starters, and they were in the bowl game last year, and they were the number 6 team defensively in that last year. So they're not a bad team. But I kind of expected Tulsa to be the best team in this conference, and so I expected them to come out and beat Bowling Green pretty easily, and they got demolished.
Yeah, completely demolished.
Yeah, I was definitely shocked too. Thought they were gonna, you know, pretty much run away with the Western Division of this conference, and it just didn't look impressive at all. And you know, I'm not really sure what it was. I don't know a whole lot about Bowling Green, but you know, I wasn't expecting Tulsa to just get killed like that.
All right, looking forward to next week, which actually starts tomorrow next week. Because Florida Atlantic plays East Carolina, Fox Sports 1. We get a little taste of some Conference USA action, some intra-conference action. you know, that's going on tomorrow. Friday, UCF plays Florida International, kind of like former Conference USA versus present, you know. UTSA is home to Oklahoma State, which is kind of strange. Like, when they announced that game originally, I was like, whoa, Oklahoma State's coming down to San Antonio. As far as I heard, UTSA was having some trouble selling some tickets. Surprise, surprise. And I know Oklahoma State gave away their allotment. But I think this week, ticket sales have kind of picked up. I know every day UTSA emails me saying, hey, there's still tickets left. Buy some tickets. And there's like a big countdown clock. So that one's kind of interesting.
How many tickets did they put at KFC this time? I know they did that a lot last year. So.
There were some UTSA folks saying, you know, maybe we got to bring that promotion back. Middle Tennessee takes on North Carolina. North Carolina lost, so that's going to be interesting. They're at home in that one. That one's going to be on ESPN3. Fox Sports 1 has the Oklahoma State UTSA game. South Alabama takes on Tulane. They're at Tulane. Little Sun Belt versus Conference USA, departing Conference USA. Southern Miss is going to Nebraska in a game that should have been at Southern Miss, but they sold because they wanted to fire their coach. That's going to be on the Big Ten Network. Southern Miss should get stomped pretty, you know, thoroughly there. LSU is home to UAB. Marshall's taking on Gardner-Webb in a game they should definitely win. Obviously, we're taking on Ohio. That's at 6 p.m. Saturday, ESPN3. So, you know, figure out how to watch that. Colorado State is, which surprisingly lost to Colorado. Colorado looked good. They're taking on Tulsa. UTEP is home to New Mexico. And Louisiana Tech is going to play an FCS team, which should be like the equivalent of a bye. They're playing Lamar.
Good basketball school.
Yeah. So that's that. That's what looking forward to Conference USA. Some intriguing matchups. I think I want to watch maybe a little bit of that East Carolina game. I think my eyes will be on, like, NFL starting and my fantasy football teams. And a little bit of that Oklahoma State UTSA game. I think Oklahoma State's like 30-point favorites, like 28.5 or something like that. So I kind of want to see how that scrappy little team is going to take on when it's like the first game against a big boy, you know? Like we every year we have to take on a Georgia or a Florida or a Kansas State, and you know. So let's see how that talk UTSA fans put up when they get dominated. Anything else intriguing to you guys next week as far as Conference USA is concerned, college football in general?
Nothing really. I'm just excited to see what's going to happen next week and see how we play against Ohio. That's the main thing I'm really thinking about.
Yeah, me too. I think. All right. Looks like we lost Tony, unfortunately. He'll be back next week. We're nearing the end of the show anyway, so, we won't spend 3 hours trying to get him back. All right, so like, I don't know. You didn't give your prediction for the season. What did you say it was going to be?
Yeah, I think before the season started, I was thinking, you know, like a 7-5 or 6-6 even, because it really worried me whenever we went into the season without, you know, anything definite at quarterback. When you were kind of scared about Derek Thompson being your starter and you had a battle going on, which we always thought, you know, Derek was going to be the guy that came out of that. It just kind of worries you whenever he wasn't named captain and all that kind of stuff. It just kind of, you know, makes a feeling down inside that makes you feel like there's not confidence on that team about him being the starter. So that kind of worried me. But, you know, after seeing them come out in the first game and play the way they did, and looking at the schedule, I think it could easily be a 3 or 4 loss season.
All right. I guess, what did you think of the 100th anniversary, you know, new throwback kind of things there?
Dude, I loved them. They were awesome. I wish they'd wear them. I wish they had a white version. I wish they wore them the rest of the year. I really do.
Yeah, I think they look good. The dark green looked good. I mean, I'm not really a fan of like our present uniforms green. I think it's a little too light. So mm-hmm. I kind of like that there.
I think the players loved it. I think they were pumped. I they were cool, man. I like the helmets. I really like the helmets. No, I think they're sharp though. I loved them.
Yeah, I really wish they did the diving eagle or the son of worm, as they call it. So you see people tweeting that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, again, if you have a cool logo, I think you use it, you know.
Oh, even I know.
Do the little compromise there and have, like, the diving eagle and have, like, North Texas around it or something like that.
Yeah. I just love that. New uniforms. I mean, I'm really big on that. New like, uniform, you know, yeah. I think Oregon is really cool with all the stuff they do and Maryland and stuff like that. I know lots of people aren't into that, but I would even love to like see like a black alternate like one time for maybe UNT. I think that'd be sweet. I know lots of people don't like that. They don't like the black around the outside of the football stadium either, like of the field,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and stuff like that. I think it it looks good, and I think it makes kids like to want to come here.
Yeah, like, I mean, we don't really have the kind of history like Nebraska or Wisconsin or these kinds of teams, or like Penn State, you know, where like we've had this uniform for, you know, 55 years and
yeah,
we've won a lot of games in it. Like, we really haven't won a lot of games, so I think you kind of have fun with it. Like you said, I think that's kind of what Oregon was doing. They're like, let's kind of change some things up. And obviously, they have Pac-12 money, and they have you know, Nike money behind them.
But I feel like
we can have some green pants. You know,
I mean, I think so, man. I feel like Dodge tried to do that with the Under Armour stuff, you know, when he was here a little bit. But yeah, I think that definitely. I think we should need. I mean, I love them. I just wish we could have more of it.
Yeah, I think maybe we got Tony back. Tony.
Yeah, I think we did. Hey.
Yeah, my connection went down for a minute. Sorry about that. All
right, welcome back.
new apartment.
Fancy guy. All right, yeah, we're just having uniform talk. I think to kind of respond to that Todd Dodge thing, I liked it. What I didn't like about Todd Dodge's like idea of fashion was that it was basically South Lake Carroll's uniform.
It kind of was, wasn't it? It was really weird.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I wasn't really excited about that. But, I mean, my biggest pet peeve is the helmet. Like, the super bland North Texas on there. I think the only worst helmet in FBS was, like, New Mexico State, and even they changed it.
And they had, like, New Mexico State was what they wrote across theirs.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I think that having North Texas on the helmet is what makes people think that we're still North Texas State. Like, you know, you just see North Texas, and they just put the state right after it. I mean,
put the diving eagle on it. Yeah, I totally agree. All right, you know, like, you incorporate the word mark. I think that's what you got to do.
I think I love new uniforms, though. Like, I'd love to have, like, a new one for every week.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate it either. I know some people don't. I guess, like, you know, like, being political guy here, I think you make some compromise and say, all right, we won't have a uniform for every week, but maybe we have, like, two different combinations. Like you said, yeah. A couple,
like a nice alternate. Yeah.
Yeah, have three. Three uniforms is good. At least three, like three jerseys, like a black one. Yeah, it'd be awesome. As it stands, they auctioned off all the uniforms from the game and like the helmets and the jerseys. The jerseys were going for like 150 or 90 or something like that. I forget what they were, but the helmets were $300. Did you guys pony up for any of that?
No.
No.
Yeah, I don't have $300 spent on a helmet that I'm not going to use actively.
Yeah, I'm broke.
Yeah. I wonder how that turned out. Did you hear anything, Justin? I know you're
No, I didn't. I was kind of following along when they went up, though, and there wasn't a ton of bids that I noticed right off the bat. So I think it was pretty early still when I was looking at the bidding, so I never really saw how it all ended up.
All right. Well, I guess hopefully they have enough left. And so they said, you know, let's just wear them again. What do you say, guys? You know.
So y'all might have just talked about this while I was down, but I heard there was something about a new surprise uniform or something coming up. Anybody know anything?
We hadn't, but did hear that too. Yeah,
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, it was like on the Coach Mack show. Ooh. He mentioned something like there might be a little something. I don't know. Some people thought it might be like a different black jersey. So maybe your wish is
fulfilled. I'm telling you, man, just call a blackout, make all the students wear black.
I'm hearing.
Be cool.
My sources are saying maybe during the Rice game, the Halloween night, the nationally televised game, because Rice doesn't really have any colors that would be affected by us wearing black and green or black and white.
Ball State's like black and red, right?
Yeah.
All right. So
yeah, that would be cool.
That works. I like that. Let's keep that
speculation going. I like it.
That's what I want. I want to see a black uniform with a green helmet with a white son of worm just coming down off of it and just looking awesome.
Yeah, that looks sick.
That would be cool. So hopefully next week. I don't know where you guys are watching it, but hopefully you're nice and connected. I will be in Las Vegas, so maybe I'll put a little money down.
Oh wow! Yeah.
And yeah, I'll be watching from there, I'll be tweeting live and tweeting about it. So if you want somebody to follow along with, I think, you know, there's places you can go, and on Twitter is one of them. I will be definitely tweeting about the game and going crazy. So
I'm working, but I'm going to take a break every 5 minutes to watch Adam on Twitter as he tweets about the game.
Yeah, I've been in Twitter jail a lot every time the game's on and I'm somewhere. I think during that famous win where Jim was going crazy, I was in Twitter jail, and I had to switch over to my other one, my personal one, Aztec Skin. So it's probably gonna happen again. Just letting you know right now. All right. So, hey, you're gonna be doing play-by-play, Justin.
Yeah, maybe for the October 12th game against Middle Tennessee. Right, cool. If I can say something there. Wow. Yeah,
that's gonna be on NTTV, right?
Yeah, NTTV, channel 36 on Verizon Fios and 22 on Charter.
Fancy.
But there's nobody else covering that game, so you can watch it only there.
There you go. So if you're in
Denton, North Texas State.
Yeah,
I swear I won't.
If you do, you can never come back on the podcast. You'll be banned.
That's right.
Let's see. You can follow me on Twitter, Aztecs. Can you follow Justin? He's Justin Brummett. Tony, you're T. D'Souza, and you have some numbers afterwards. What is it?
87.
There it is. Also, if you like other stuff, Deranged Penguin, that's our funny podcast. It's me and a few friends, including, like, if you listen to this and you saw me there, Del and Gina are both on the show, and they're super funny. Gina always gets, like, they always say she's the funniest. And, you know, I take offense to that, man. Your wife can't be funnier than you. No, but, yeah, she's funny. It's good times. So follow that. Do that. Follow the blog. I am in the process of upgrading some things and making it look prettier. Because where I host it, it's kind of old. Like, I've hosted it there for a while. So it's time for an upgrade because it's a little slow for me. So there you go. So there's that. I know Justin said he's going to try to sneak in a couple posts. Tony, same kind of deal.
Yeah, I'll write something for you.
Yeah, and if you have, like, your hot sports take that you just want to get off your chest, feel free to send me an email. It's, you know, adam@meangreennation.com. Right? Other than that. Go listen to Go Mean Green's podcast after this, because I know you listen to us first. And then who else is doing it? Anybody else doing a podcast today? Is that it? I think the Rivals, the Cooler Chronicles guys, are doing a show today, too. They might.
Yeah, there's some school that nobody cares about.
Yeah. I heard about that one.
Yeah, so, you know, they're all Conference USA friends here, sort of. And I think the other thing we're going to be voting, like, Mean Green Nation, like, the blog is also going to be voting on, like, this not, like, non-AQ top 10 list. I just got to submit my top 10 rating. That means I got to, like, look at every other school.
God. Every one of them.
Yeah. We participated last season, but I got super busy. Such is life, such
Adam,
is grad
when
school.
Do I get my, when do I get my Mean Green Nation press pass? Get me into that press box that Justin's in. You know,
yeah, I don't know.
Air conditioning.
I did get an email to be in the CBS sports call with the Gary Danielson and the other guy to talk about you know, the Bama and A&M game. I don't really have much to say about that, so I'm going to decline their offer to be in that conference media call. But there's that. Anyway, so Go Mean Green. Yeah. Anything else? Everybody, bye. Say bye, everybody.
Goodbye. Adios. Bye.